Blog Talk Radio. woman. That musician was Karunesh, and the name of the song was Into the Mystic. And it's just a beautiful tune, and I just love that thing. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show is about the arrogance of inequality. But before we get into the show, I'd like to, well, basically give myself a few promotional ideas, and that's that I have some great books out there. One's on the idea of karma. Most people take karma as a joke, and it's not. It's very real. And encompasses the 12 principles of karma. Titled the book on Kindle is Know What Tomorrow Brings. When you can know what tomorrow brings, then hey, we're never really surprised. Not that we can't be, that's just we create with more intention. The second thing I'd like to share is my book on A Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible. It's not about religious dogma, it's not about religion. It's about the message that the Bible is really delivering to us and who we are, what we're about, and why we're here. And I think that's an incredible message. And the next thing I'd like to say is I operate day in and day out as a life coach. I love working with people and getting them to understand the circumstances of their lives. And I'm very good at what I do. And you can go to my website at www.hairfield, H-A-I-R-F as in Frank, I-E-L-D.com, and you can find out more about that. I love working with people and showing them the ideas of life and what those ideas actually mean. And next, I'd like to give a shout-out to a few people, my lovely bride Karen, to Lynn and brother in Mississippi, to Jay in the Philippines, Tina, Singapore, Lorraine So in Singapore. Great, avid listeners. Love it. Appreciate you guys very much. And just so you know, anytime I will give you guys a shout out for listening to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show, wow. The arrogance of inequality. God, where does that come from? Why does that come from now? I mean, what is that all about? You know, for so many centuries, and it's a conditioned thing that we all have, that some races, some people, some species seemingly, somehow, seem to be better than another. You've got to be kidding me. If you read every ancient text ever written on the face of this planet, and I mean from the Vedas to the Gita to even the Bible, all of it says that we are born in equality. In the book of Genesis, you would read these words, that we are the same as the Creator, that it said that we are just like it, that we're just like the Creator. You got to be kidding me. Wait a minute. What are we doing with this stuff? What are we doing in this reality? You know, I look at things like Dallas. I look at a lot of these things, and I watch the news constantly, not because I'm an addict and not because I need to, but because the insanity that's going on, that we need to kill white people, what for? What for? What does that ever gain? And I mean that in absolute sincerity. And if any of you have any comments, please, 718-664-9735. I would like to understand why things aren't equal in this reality. Why is it? Why is it, really, that we cannot see all people as equal? God said that we were equal to it. Christ said we were equal to him. And look at us. Bunch of squibbling, squabbling, little people, they can't get over themselves. Yeah, I said that. Squabbling little people, they can't get over themselves. They think they're so danged important that somebody else doesn't matter in this life. What the heck ever made any individual so important and so significant that it couldn't accept anything being greater or equal to, which is really the case, equal to you? Gosh, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's about time that we wake up and that we stop. We stop what we're doing. killing people over what? What they believe in? What race they are? The type of person they are? And then we're taking them out? We're literally killing them? And for what purpose does that serve? No. I'm being really honest. 718-664-9735. If anybody out there can come up with any kind of an idea as to why that happens, I would love it. If for no other reason, it's insane. It's nuts. You know, every single human has two lungs. We have a heart. We have intestine. We have kidneys. We have everything that every other single human has. What you feel, I feel. What you know is sadness, I know is sadness. What you know is happiness, I know it's happiness. Each of us do that. Each of us know that. And it doesn't matter where in the world in which we live. It does not matter. And yet, what do? We treat it as it's something different. We treat it as it's just something beneath us. We treat it as that no human really matters in this world anymore. For heaven's sakes, this world is about the human. You know, why do we choose life? And I mean this. Why do we choose to be the human? I once heard it said that the human is the envy of the universe, that we get everything full tilt. We get everything in the deepest meaning of the experience, we, the human. We do. And the truth is, it's love by me to be shared that human is blunt force trauma. In other words, we get the full impact of everything. It's not secondary. It's not second nature. It's full impact. We get it mentally. We get it physically. We get it emotionally. And we get it spiritually. Well, hopefully, ultimately, we do. But the point of fact is, we get the full impact of everything, and nobody can avoid that. Nobody can avoid the full implications of what life has to deliver. You know, sometimes there are surprises. Got one myself today. Wow. Not a surprise I wanted to hear, not a surprise I wanted to know. But it's still a surprise, and it's still something that I have to take care of. I can bitch about it, I can moan about it, I can cry about it. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter. Why? Because I still have to take care of it. All right? So the only thing I can do is one thing, take care of it. You know, inequality, what the heck is that? You know, that has astounded me since, I can't even remember. I grew up in the South, Virginia, to be a fact. And in Virginia, at the time I was growing up, African Americans, they had their own special fountains. They had their own bathrooms. They had their own bus depots. They had their own everything. And white people had theirs. And you know, when I was a kid, when I would see signs that would say black fountains only or black people only could drink from this fountain, I was curious, what is it about this water that is so special that these people, that it was labeled that that's where they were to drink. You know, I took a sip at a fountain one day. It was labeled black only. And I thought my dad was going to kill me because they did it. And I had no idea whatsoever that there was anything wrong with it because I didn't know anything about inequality. I didn't know anything about that one race was better than another. And there I am years later, going through base camp with a gentleman from East Philly, And there was a Confederate flag flying over this hooch, this building, and base camp. And he began to tell me about it. Now, keeping in mind, this was back in the 60s. Now, here we are in the, 2001? And he began to tell me what this flag meant to him. I was floored, because I'd never heard his perspective. I'd never heard an African American's perspective on the Confederate flag. And I looked at him and I said, well, you know what? Why don't you just take it down? And he looked at me and said, you've got to be kidding me. A black guy climbing up there, taking that flag down? You've got to be kidding me. And I said, well, no, actually I'm not. He wouldn't do it. Long story short, I did. I went up on the roof of this building, cut this flag down, brought it down to him, and I looked at him and said, let's burn it. And he was floored that a white guy would decide to do that. And you know, I felt good about it, because it sent a message. And the message it sent is that life was changing. And I look out there today, and I have to ask myself, is it really? Is life really changing? Or is it becoming more darkened? You know, when we see these things like the violence that's going on today, what does it prove? I ask everybody, really, really, to stop and think, what does it prove? Ultimately, nothing. And you know, when people do this kind of stuff, it's absurd. It really is. It's absurd. The reason it's absurd is because, well, it proves nothing. Hey, everybody out there, you have a riot, and you riot in your neighborhood. You destroy, you burn your neighborhood. You protested, okay, but what have you gained? What have you gained in that protest by the destruction of your own neighborhood? I would love to have somebody call me and tell me what they've gained, because I don't think they've gained anything. In fact, I know they haven't. And you can't. You don't destroy what's built to create something that's in your image and in your likeness, because that's what people are doing. They want things created in their image and in their likeness. Excuse me. I think that's a God term. When I say God term, it literally means that. Because in the biblical text, it literally says, let us create human in our image and in our likeness. Now think about something. In our image and in our likeness is life and the way that we live it. Is that divine? Is that demonstrating the divine nature of the human? Is that demonstrating the divine nature of being? Is that demonstrating positive, loving, compassionate flow? Wow. I don't think so. And I think if we stop and take a look at it, we would all have to agree. And whether you agree with me or not, I don't care. But the point of fact is, we have difficulties going on in our reality, and we aren't doing a darn thing about it, whether it's from the government level, and maybe even more importantly, the individual level. And as everybody that knows that's listened to this show for any length of time, I don't usually come out here like this. It's just, this is crazy. This is just stuff that's going on when you start shooting policemen in a peaceful protest just because you want to kill somebody simply because of their color, just because of who they are, what they're about, what they represent. I mean, I have to say to you, if you do, you are one arrogant person. gosh, there's this ancient idea of the Aryans. Who are the Aryans? This is some race that supposedly the dominant race. Well, if there was a dominant race, I'd have to have everybody take a moment with common sense and say, okay, dominant race, what's dominant out here? Because that also represents the idea of inequality, the things not being equal. But the Aryans were supposed to be, this dominant race was the cure-all of whatever. And, well, frankly, it never happened. And now you have these people who call themselves Aryans. Really? And that they think, I mean, Hitler is a perfect example of that. That's the dominant race, really. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. Well, I have a question for everybody. Think about something from a logical context. Especially those of you that are radical. And that's this. If blonde-haired, blue-eyed people were supposed to be the dominant race, then why are there people with black hair? Why are there people with red hair, brown hair? Why are there people with blue eyes, brown eyes, hazel eyes? Why are there people? Well, I think the divine sent the message. And human interpreted into something it was never intended to be. We've interpreted it into the small side of human. The small side of human says, I'm afraid of how great I am. I'm afraid that I am huge. I am afraid. And I would rather be small. Really? Wow. We have so many gifts. We have so many talents as humans. We're infinite. As all ancient texts say, we are infinite. And we have infinite abilities. And yet, what do? We operate out of finite. Finite, you could say, is what, here I'm going to word this, is what we think we understand. What we think we understand is finite. Finite says, I understand this three-dimensional reality. I understand there's a tree. I understand I have to go around the tree. That's three-dimensional logic. That's fine. But you know what? When it comes to people, when it comes to life, when it comes to our experiences, we don't have to be that limited. We're unlimited creatures. Every ancient text says that we are. We have infinite ability, infinite capability, and infinite levels of acceptance, appreciation, assurance, and confidence in others. But look at us. We're like little babies. We're like entities that have never heard this before. You've got to be kidding me. You've never heard this before? Sure you have. And if you haven't, I have to ask you, where do you have your mind? Where do you have your head? Where do you have your value system? Because this is the essence of life. The essence of life is the fact that we're all here, and we're all living it, and we're all experiencing it. And yet there's some people that honestly want to believe that they're better than others. If you, in any way, and I'm talking about you, the individual, if you, in any way, think that you are better than any other human being, I would say to you, you take a look at yourself. Your arrogance is staring you in the face. And I mean that. And I mean that with every ounce of my being. Your arrogance is staring you in the face. Because no human, in any point in time, ever was created better than any other human. What do we base that crap on? exterior looks. You're brown, I'm Caucasian. So therefore, you're not my equal. You are yellow, I'm Caucasian. Where do you people get up with this stuff? And I really mean it. Especially if you believe in the idea of the Creator, if you believe in the idea of God or Allah. And yeah, I'm going to say that, you guys, or Allah, because it's important. Why is it important? Because the Creator isn't going to do that. It's not going to create something less than itself. It can't. How can it? Well, that's actually easy. The reason it can't is because it doesn't know anything less than itself. Divine knowledge only knows divine substance. And if divine substance only knows divine substance, it can only create through divine substance. That's all it can do. And what? You want to jump up and think that you're better than somebody because of the color of your flesh? Because of the status of your job? Because of the money in your bank account? Man, you people are small. And I mean that. You really are. You're small. That is so tiny. It's not even worth my time at even looking for. Why? Because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because of the idea of the divine. You people want to go with creation? The idea of creation? That creation is all there is? That God created us? And you act like this? You know what? I don't care whether you're Christian, Muslim, or whatever. You're full of your own self. You're so damned arrogant that you're blind. You're blind to life. You're blind to the reality of the way things are. Life is just what it is. It is. Things happen. Things come. Things go. There's an ebb. There's a flow. Always. Constantly. Continually. And what some of you boneheads want to do is turn it into something that it was never intended to be and that it is not. And yet, you turn around and seemingly like it. Excuse me a second. Do you people all really, really, really like this conflict in today's world? No, I mean that. Do you really like this conflict where people, children, adults, where all of these people are giving up their lives for some ideology that makes no sense? Did you think you can come along and you can take people out and you can disrupt things in the way that you do for what? You think, now, I don't mean anything by what I'm about to say, but does one black person honestly think they could take out every white human on the planet? Well, I got news for you. That ain't gonna happen. Can one white person take out every black human on this planet? I got news for you. That's nuts. Can every Christian, and all you people that are call yourselves Christian, to hear me, can one Christian take out every Muslim on this planet? The answer to all of that is no. So I have to ask you, what the hell are you people thinking? I mean, really, I would love to be able to challenge you people right to your face. Because of the insanity of what it is that you do. Because it accomplishes zero. You know, I hear in the media, they talk about how things were in the 60s. Okay, the protests, went through it, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And we look at the protests today. Man. there's a world of difference between those ideas because the way that people handle them. You know, yeah, cops aren't always going to get it right. They aren't. But for heaven's sakes, look at what they do. Most of the time, they do. Most of the time. There's those occasions where, well, hey, dude, you blew it. Admit that you blew it. And that's the hard part about our world today, is the admission that we blew it. And because of that, you know, we're becoming more and more a world that's not involved in the concept of personal responsibility. Personal responsibility, what is that? Personal responsibility is about owning what you do. Not why you do it, but what you did. Why you did it is totally unimportant. What you did is very important. But in today's world, there's very little personal responsibility out there. Because it's so easy anymore to blame other people. Oh, well, the Muslim made me do it. The white person made me do it. The African person made me do it. Excuse me a second, everybody. You do that kind of stuff, then you're nuts. Because nobody makes nobody really do anything. We do what we do because we react to things, but we do not act on things. If we act on things, things would be different. But ladies and gentlemen, years ago, it was said by me to everybody on this show that be careful of what you're tempted to do because you're going to do it. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the temptations of these people that want to kill certain types of people. And they're so tempted to do it that they actually carry it out. And it becomes an aspect of life. Does life have to be this way? No. You know, I did a show last week about the value of raising consciousness. That is huge. And it's huge because if people operate consciously, they don't operate. You can't operate from these positions of violence. You just can't. Because it's something that won't cross your mind. It's something that won't cross your being. It's something that is no part of you. And yet, so many people go, I don't want to do that. I have to ask, how come? What are we as a society? What is our fear? Is it going to change us so much that we won't work, that we won't have an economy, that we won't have money, even though those things would all be positive? But what's the fear? What's everybody afraid of? Why are we afraid to be one society? You know, ladies and gentlemen, think about something. This is an earth. This is a planet. We all live on it. If you don't live on this planet, then I have a question for you. Where the hell are you going to go? And I mean that. Where are you going to go? So that means, right off the bat, in an obvious state, this is one world, okay? It's one world. It is one humanity. It is one people. It is one idea. And look what we do. Oh, my. We treat each other like we're just so much dirt under our feet. And I have to ask everybody, really, if you think about it, what has that ever accomplished at any point in time, anywhere in the history of the world? If I remember my history lesson, I would say to you that I was taught that World War I was the war to end all wars. How many wars has there been since World War I? 4, 5, 6? So I guess we missed the point that it wasn't the war to end all wars. No. You know, you would think that over a period of time, people would get the idea that conflict never, ever resolves conflict. It can't. Yet, what do? We create conflict. We create conflict individually, and we create conflict collectively. And it's the collective conflict that affects us all. You know, I'm going to say some things, and it's not to irritate people, it's not to disturb people, it's to get them to think. Why in the world, in the Middle East, why do we see such difficulty between the Arabs and the Jewish nation? That actually, if anybody did the research, is not all that difficult. And I'm not about to downplay the Jewish people at all. And I want everybody to know that now because I don't need the emails and the junk. But the word Israeli has a distinct meaning. Ancient language always had a meaning. It had a meaning. Even in the name, there was a definition to the name. There was description to the name. It meant something. In modern times, it doesn't. But the word Israeli in ancient times simply meant chosen people. Okay? Chosen people. So why is that a big deal? That's actually pretty simple. That somebody thousands of years ago decided they were going to be the chosen people. In fact, it's a known scientific fact that if you test the DNA of the Palestinians and the Israelis, they are exactly alike. So what happened is somebody decided, hey, I don't want to be a Palestinian. I want to be the chosen person. And what they did is they chose the word Israeli to represent the chosen people. Well, excuse me, the divine didn't do that. People did that. Humans decided on through their own ego that they were going to determine themselves as the chosen people. What do you mean that? That's what that word means. And that's why there's so much unrest in the Middle East. Why? Because the Arab world doesn't agree with the ancient decision that a group of people, through their ego, could choose to be the chosen ones. And you know what's funny? That makes sense to me. War doesn't. Conflict doesn't. But that idea and the resentment makes total sense to me. And the truth of the matter is, that's why there's conflict over there and why there always will be conflict over there. Because of the very same reason. Chosen people. Ancient texts say that the Creator, the Divine, is going to choose. It's going to do that. And that's my point. We have become so small that we have forgotten so much of what the ancients knew that we only know a minuscule thing. And yet, we are so arrogant that we think, as humans, that we know everything. I have to ask you, really? And look how we treat each other. Not only because of race, color, but because masculine and feminine. Masculine is better than female? Really? You know, out of all the ancient texts, and I've had an opportunity for many, many, many years to study study these ancient texts. And all ancient texts end up saying the same exact thing, that there's no difference between us, that some people just like to be so damned arrogant to think that some faction is better than another. And I hope in some way that I get into people's minds tonight to where they can understand that that's not it. That's not it at all. The people are the greatest thing that there is. The people are the most magnificent thing there is. All of us. No matter where you're from, no matter what sex you are. We all have, like I said earlier, two lungs. We have a heart. We have a being. And all of those are so similar that it's not even funny. And yet, what do? We like to want to think that someone is less than. And I mean, come on, guys, excuse me a second. Because a woman is a girl? She's less than you? Really? I've never studied that anywhere. And yet, there are people that actually think that. And that, to me, is an error of the modern human consciousness. You know, I think it'd be wonderful if everybody on the face of the planet, not for my sake, not for any other sake than this show and the message, I think it'd be great if everybody on this planet heard me when I'm talking about stuff like this. Why? Is it for my ego? No, not at all. It's just because it makes sense. It's like on a referral on my book on Know What Tomorrow Brings, presenting the principles of karma, somebody actually wrote a review that basically said this, that if everybody read that book, the entire face of the planet would change. That's, I think, the most incredible thing I've ever read as a referral on anything I've ever written, could change the face of the way that we live. And the truth is, it would. And to me, there's no question. If you knew that what you did today was going to create something adverse down the road, I don't think you would do it. But because we ignore it, and because we defy it, we don't put things together. I didn't hold the door open for this person, and because I got hit with a door, it wasn't because of that person. My question would be is, are you so sure? If you know someone is behind you and you can hold the door, my question is why not? What do you lose? What do you lose by holding the door open for that person? What do you lose? Nothing. Other than an act of kindness. Every day when I'm at my office, in between appointments, I'll go for a walk. And as I'm walking, I see things like garbage, trash, just whatever. And I'll pick it up. Because I would rather help the planet heal itself than allow this junk to float around and continue to float around forever. No, I would rather just simply pick it up. It makes more sense to me. Why? I'm there. It's called personal responsibility, and it's called me being myself and wishing to assist and to help. Yes. I'm willing to do that. And I think any one of us can take a moment to do that. Any one of us can do an act of kindness. Any one of us doesn't have to get involved in anything violent. We don't have to. When we hear people that are going to perpetrate it, hey, it's not correct thing in saying, hey, this person said they're going to do this, that, or the other. Why not be of value? You know, when we look at the idea of compassion, is it a compassionate thing to go out and shoot people because of how they look, because of who they are, because of what they do? My response to that is no. That's nuts. That's just the easy way out. In fact, I would go so far as to say, that's the chicken way out. The chicken way out? Yeah. People that do this kind of stuff live in fear. But you know, like I was saying to everybody earlier, this is one world. We are one world. We are one reality. If we can learn to appreciate that idea of oneness, man, the world would change exponentially. That would mean the rich aren't really rich. The poor aren't really poor. Those are states of mind. Those are states of being. The states of mind create the states of being. So if we're all inseparably connected, then that means we're all wealthy. And it just depends on your perspective. And, you know, come on, you don't need to send me the emails. I'm not talking about wealthy monetarily. I'm talking about wealthy in life. Life is why we're here. Life is the reason we have life, that we can live, that we can be a participant of what we're doing. And I have to ask anybody something. I'd love you to call me and tell me, what the hell does anybody ever get out of taking another human's life? What do you get out of that? I've been in the military. I've been in a combat zone. I know what that's like. But I have to ask you, what do you get? You get some kind of illusion or delusion about something you're going to get for doing what you think is something good? For what? How can anybody, I don't care who you are, how can anybody think that taking another human's life is a good thing? I can honestly think of some circumstances, but I won't throw them out here. My point is being the disruptive idea that a person is when they're doing something like that is absurd. And somebody that thinks that they are above life, wow, that's crazy. Christ said himself that he was in this world, but he also said he was not part of it. He didn't say he was greater than. He just knew that what life was is what it was, and that he could observe it objectively. He could see it for what it is, and he called it for what it was. And look at us today. We're so caught up in life that we can't really see anything positive about it. Life is an amazing thing. Wow. Beautiful. The whole mechanism, the whole idea behind it is astounding. Because we're here to recognize who we are, what we're about. We're here to recognize that we are divine creatures. We are. But we haven't come to that state. Why? Maybe. Because of conditioning that says that we aren't worthy to be of that state, when the truth is, we actually are. That life is a gift. The gift of consciousness, the gift of divine consciousness, is what life is about. We were given this gift to realize who we are. We're given this gift for the recognition of our own divinity, and we refuse to do it. That's the crazy part to me. Because it's such a simple view. Go, oh wow. God said in the Bible, I'm like it. Jesus said I was like him. So what am I doing? What are you doing? And here's where I'm going to close. I'd like to ask everybody out there to do everything they can to contribute positively to living. Positively to your life first, and then positively to everyone else's life. And as you contribute positively, you're putting positive energy into society. And because of the collective and the idea of oneness, that ultimately will come back to you. That ultimately will be an aspect of you. But do something kind. I always love it when I can to pay things forward. I don't know where they're going to show up. I don't know when. I don't care. I'm just going to do something kind that someone else can appreciate, because that's important to me. If a world that contributed to each other in kindness, what do you think that world would become? Well, I would think it would become an act of kindness. Why? Simple. Because everybody is doing something kind. Beliefs, perceptions, concepts. Baloney. Dump them. Because they separate us. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Stephen Harefield. You can find me at www.harefield.com. That's H-A-I-R. F as in Frank, I-E-L-D.com. That's my website. You can also find me on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn. And yes, I love communicating with people because that's what I do. I love humanity. And it's time for us to enliven our lives. If you have any show suggestions, you can email me at Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, at harefield.com. And I'll respond to you no matter what, whether I'll do the show or won't do the show. But I'll at least let you know. But I love input from people on subjects that they would like to hear. This is Stephen Harefield. I'm on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you for being here. And we'll be back next week, same time, hopefully with Rebecca. And we usually have a good time when we do that show. Thank you so much. And you folks enjoy the evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.